Thank you, Brother Frank. We now come to our first address, Joshua the Lord's Servant, Brother Burke. Love, even love our Lord alone. Thou say the heavens, even the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is therein, the seas and all that therein is, and thou sustainest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The words, my dear brothers and sisters, of Nehemiah, but they express so beautifully, don't they, the mightiness and the power and the majesty of the living God that you and I worship. And it was this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of the fathers that we've been reading of in our daily readings, of Jacob and our God, the God and fathers of the people of Israel. You remember, of course, the time when Jacob took his family down into the land of Egypt. Joseph there. What a reunion that was with Jacob and Joseph, the despised son by the brethren. And they came into the land of Egypt, and we know, of course, when Joseph fell asleep in the Lord, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph or his ways, and persecuted and tyrannized the people of Israel. He impoverished them, he made them slaves. He caused them to build cities and monuments, and they were depraved and diminished. And in their distress, they cried unto the Lord their God. And the Lord their God sent them a Saviour, and Moses, who came and brought them in. I believe that somebody is still here. So Moses actually was ready to be the deliverer of God's people and to bring them out. And what a mighty God that was when he brought upon the Egyptians those plagues. And of course there was the Passover, when the angel of death passed over all the land of Egypt, and the firstborn among the Egyptians was slain, and the Israelites were saved by the blood of the Lamb. The angel passed over. And Moses brought them out. There's one delightful passage of scripture which I feel is so lovely in connection with Moses. Moses realized, because of the difficulties that he had experienced in striking the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, and the Lord God said that he would not go into the land, but he would see it. And he did see it, that he wasn't allowed to go in. And Moses now is coming to the end of his life. And he took upon himself a tremendous responsibility in leading Israel. He encouraged them in the Lord. He caused them to trust in the Lord their God. And I'd like to go now, if you'll join me, into Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Because here we see the very heart of Moses. Moses chapter 27, verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the Spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. There was a concern of Moses for the people of Israel. He would no longer perhaps be in charge of this people, but he was praying and he was beseeching the Lord that they would not be sheep scattered abroad, but a leader would be chosen. There was the concern of Moses, the love that Moses had for his people, the regard, and so he besought the Lord, and that they might not be a sheep wandering around, that they wanted a shepherd to watch over them. And I was most interested in the way in which the Lord Jesus speaks about this. If you come with me to the Gospel record of Matthew, you can see a link. Because the Lord brings in very, very similar language. The 9th chapter of Matthew, and at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Isn't it remarkable that the Lord Jesus is using the same similar language to that of Moses? Moses was concerned for his people. Lord, give them a leader. Give them someone to lead them forward. I will be no longer in charge. And the Lord Jesus can see the same thing. Sheep scattered abroad. That the congregation of the Lord be not the sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And brethren and sisters, we are the sheep of the Lord's pasture. The Lord is our shepherd. We're on our way to the promised land. As was the people of Israel. It must have been hard, perhaps, although Moses didn't show it. It must have been hard for Moses not to go into that. He saw it, he wasn't able to go in. But although he might have had perhaps those inner feelings, he didn't show any resentment at all. Not at all. He was able to rise above anything that he felt within himself about not going into the land. And Moses now encourages Joshua. It's a lovely word, that word, encourage. And all of us have experienced it, brothers and sisters. There have been times, and I expect in your experience, and also in mine, where perhaps unconsciously brothers and sisters have spoken to us and they've encouraged us, they've lifted us up, they've cherished us, showed friendship towards us. And this is precisely what Moses did to Joshua. Joshua now is going to take on the responsibility. And Moses encouraged him. Come with me to Deuteronomy, chapter 1. The first chapter of Deuteronomy, and at verse 37. And the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, Thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. And so now the disciple was to take the master's place. The student was to take over. And the Lord now encouraged Moses to encourage Joshua. But we read on in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, the third chapter, and at verse 28. But charge Joshua, are the words of the Lord, charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Encourage him, strengthen him. And that's a requirement of us all, isn't it? That we, brothers and sisters, have to strengthen and encourage and uplift one another on our journey to the kingdom, to the promised land. That's our responsibility too, as shepherds of the flock. We have to take care. We have to love the flock. For they are the Lord's. And they belong to him. And so Joshua now is taken over, and Moses was told to encourage. But did he? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. These now are the words of Moses. Verse 6, be strong, says Moses, and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit. Did Moses encourage Joshua? Joshua? Well, here it is. He certainly did. Be strong. And we have to be strong in the Lord, haven't we, brothers and sisters, on our journey to the kingdom. Be of good courage, Moses is saying to Joshua. The Lord, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Are the words of Proverbs, and that's true of us. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. So Moses again, brothers and sisters, arose above his feelings, whatever feelings he must have experienced within himself about not going into the land. He didn't show it at all in any way to Joshua. Joshua was encouraged and uplifted by the words of Moses, the master. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers. And of course, the Lord had done that to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that they would inherit the land. And so we have this experience of history, and yet it is so relevant for us today. There are the enemies of the land, and there are occasionally enemies that we have to subdue and overcome. Things associated with the world and this life, brothers and sisters, we know them to be true. And so now comes the responsibility resting upon the shoulders of Joshua. Shall we go to the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 4 and 5. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, that thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And then we have verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Verse 9. And Joshua, Jehoshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So, just before then, Moses fell asleep. He probably had a private word with Joshua. He put his hand upon him, and the spirit of Moses rested upon Joshua. What an occasion that must have been, brothers and sisters, for these two men. Joshua looking at the master, he who was an example for Joshua, Moses, in so many ways, he who was so near and dear to the Lord God. That faithfulness of Moses had rubbed off onto Joshua, and now there was a time coming of separation, and Joshua would be parted from Moses, the servant of the Lord. And so we read on in the first chapter now of Joshua. Verse 3, Joshua chapter 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The words of the Lord through the angel. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. What a wonderful encouragement and assurance that must have been, brothers and sisters, to Joshua. I will not fail thee. And what comforting words they are to us, brothers and sisters, on the road in the pilgrimage to the promised land, I will not fail you. There is one thing that God cannot do, and I say this respectfully, and that is he cannot go back on his word. Those promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the covenant to David, is sure, I will not fail thee. And what a wonderful confidence that gives to us when we read these words and apply them to ourselves, for that is what we can do. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have also these things that are written here are for us. We are the spiritual Israel, children of Abraham. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. So that's us, brethren and sisters. Heirs according to these wonderful promises of God, which will be fulfilled. And so this was the encouragement which the Lord God gave to Joshua as he took over this responsibility. Your footprints are on the land. All that you see is what I have given you in accordance with my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not forsake fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And so we can feel the tremendous zest and enthusiasm of the way in which the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He's giving him a good start off. You've seen how I've been with Moses. And of course, Joshua possibly was born in a time when the plagues came upon Egypt. And he would have known and seen perhaps some of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. And how comforting this is to us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Many of us who have been baptized for many, many years, the things that we can believe are the things that we can cherish and have trust in, because we know that God will fulfill his promises. And that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. The things that we believe are true and honest and straightforward and trustworthy, they will be fulfilled without any shadow of doubt. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And so we see the importance of the word of God. Joshua is directed to the words of the Lord through his servant Moses, and how important the word of God is. It's for us too today, isn't it? The word of God is that which is able to strengthen our faith, uplift us, and upbuild us in the things that we believe. And so Joshua is focusing upon the word of God in this way. Thy mouth, thou shalt meditate upon it, and observe to do it, that thou mayest prosper and have good success. The psalmist was able to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It was a joy for the psalmist to read the word of God. And so Joshua is directed in the same way. And so are we. Shall we have a look at now the second chapter of Joshua? Joshua chapter 2. And now we have the experience of Rahab, the harlot, and the way in which she helped the spies that were sent to spy out the land. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. This is what Rahab says, or verse 9 perhaps. And she said unto the men, I know, there's the faith, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. What tremendous language, brothers and sisters, from Rahab here, an outsider, an alien, as it were, from the covenants of promise, a stranger. And yet she's able to express herself in this way. She has seen the way in which the God of Israel had worked and demonstrated his might and power. I know, she says, I know the Lord has given you this land. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. What a tremendous statement. And what faith she showed, insofar as she was able to hide the spies on the flaps upon the tops of the houses there. The spies came into her house, and of course there must have been quite a good intelligence in those days, because the king was informed that people had come in to spy out the land and had gone into Rahab's house, and she had covered them all with the flaps. Oh yes, they did come, but they left. Now we go after them. She put the soldiers right off, and then when they had left, she let down the spines, because her house was on the city wall. Tremendous faith, the faith of Rahab. Verse 18 of this second chapter. Behold, when we come into thou shalt bind this line, that's the spine now talking to Rahab, this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So there was the oath, there was the covenant that was made. She was not to tell anything about what had happened, and the red line was put in the window. It was the means of salvation, that red line, so that when Israel came in, the red line was there, and all that were in the house were safeguarded and saved by that sign, the red line, in the window. And of course we know exactly what happened, however, when the people did come in, that line was there. Whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy home, of thy house. And so we have to remain, brethren and sisters, in the house of God. We must not go outside. We must stay within the fellowship, within the love of God, within the faith. We mustn't go outside, because there is the evil one that will take us away from the love of God. So Rahab was told to stay in the house with her family, and she would be saved. That was the covenant which was made, as we know. We know, of course, chapter 3 of Joshua. Joshua and the people came now to the Jordan with the ark leading the way. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee, enlarge thee, in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And this here again, it is repeated, isn't it? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark, saying, when ye are coming to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither. And there is, as it were, the the fatherhood of Joshua in this. Come, gather around. I've got something to tell you. I really want you to understand this. come hither, I hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And that's how they would know that the living God was among them, because he would drive out all these nations that were there in the land. That was the confidence Joshua placed in the living God. These, of course, were idolatrous nations, dreadful nations, horrible nations, and the land had to be purged before Israel could go in and take it over. The Lord of all the earth passeth over before you. And so there is confidence given to Joshua insofar as the Lord God said, I will defeat them for you. I will lead you. And I will conquer. Victory after victory. And we know this is precisely what happened. Great nations were involved in warfare, and Israel defeated them all. It's really quite wonderful the way in which the Lord delivered his people from all the enemies that endeavored to overrun them. The fourth chapter of Joshua now is encouraging the people again. The fourth chapter and verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until he were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. It's worth pondering these verses, isn't it? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord. And so the way in which Israel went into the land and conquered those nations was a witness that Israel's God was indeed the living God. For they had seen many idols in the land of Egypt. Egypt was covered, as it were, with different types of idols. But yes, these idols, they had eyes that they couldn't see. They had ears that they couldn't hear. They had mouths that they couldn't speak. And they had to be pushed along. Silver and gold and stone, that's all their idols were. And various animals of different types. The sun and the moon they worshipped. But Israel's God was the living God. And our God is the living God. And he's concerned for us. He's concerned for our welfare. Our spiritual welfare. Our hope for the kingdom and for the promised land. And so we see how Joshua then was leading the way continually. And we come now to chapter 5, where the leader of Israel is illustrated for us. It comes out very powerfully in this fifth chapter, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto this servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So there is the captain of the Lord's host, the captain too of our salvation, we're told in the New Testament, Lord Jesus. But here is the revelation of the angel of the Lord, who was the way in which Israel was led. And it's interesting too, really, when we compare this particular reference with the reference reference in Exodus chapter 23. And the two are parallel. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. The Lord says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. And if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and all the other nations." But there is the angel of the Lord, who was the captain of their salvation, if I can put it that way. The one that led them forth. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that feared him and delivered them. Are the words of the Psalms that we read recently in Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord. And so the angel went before the people of Israel in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. He led them the way in which they should go, and he defeated all their enemies. There is a very unusual incident that occurs now in the experience of Joshua, where he omitted to approach God in prayer. And this has to do, actually, with the time when Ai, the city of Ai, was to be attacked. Will you join me in Joshua chapter 7? The 7th chapter of Joshua. You remember, first of all, that at the time when Jericho was taken, that's interesting too, that they went around the walls of Jericho quietly. Once they made a circuit one day, and they did this for 6 days, going walking around the city of Jericho, 6 days quietly, apart from the trumpets blown by the priests. And then on the seventh day, as they went around the city of Jericho, the priests sounded the trumpets, and the people gave a great shout, and the walls of Jericho fell down. And it seems to me, brothers and sisters, that perhaps the way in which the walls fell, they fell outwards so that it gave the people of Israel a ramp in which they could go up into the city. And so they were able to conquer Jericho. It's rather interesting, too, that Rahab's house was on the wall, and yet it was protected. They went in, they saw the red line in the window, and Rahab was taken out. But in that time when Jericho was taken, the Lord God had made a commandment that everything that was in Jericho was devoted to him. All the wealth and the prosperity, the silver and gold, were to go into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But of course we know what happened. Achan saw a goodly Babylonish garment, a wedge of gold and silver, and took it and hid it in his tent. And of course, the people of Israel now, they were going to attack Ai, and the spies went to see Ai and said, "Well, there's only a few people there. I think 2,000 or 3,000 will be sufficient, really, to overcome Ai." And so, instead of sending the whole host of Israel, they sent 3,000. But of course, what happened was when Israel went up to attack Ai, the people of Ai, the soldiers of Ai, came out and defeated Israel. And 36 of the Israelites were slain, and they ran before the people of Ai. And Joshua fell on his knees. He couldn't understand. God had said, "I'll be with you." He couldn't understand. And yet, of course, then the Lord God had to bring to mind that Achan was responsible for this. It affected the whole of Israel, what Achan had done. And we know how Achan then was singled out, and he was stoned. And then, of course, on the next occasion, when the Lord said to Joshua to go up to Ai, he went up to Ai, but he took the whole host this time. He took 30,000 people with him against Ai. And of course, Ai was then defeated. So we have a look at this seventh chapter of Joshua and verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed or devoted thing, and have also stolen the assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And then we read in verse 21, when I saw, this is Achan now, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And so it was because of that sin of Achan that it affected the whole of Israel. One sin of one man affected the whole of Israel, and God was not with them when they first of all went take Ai. And then, of course, in chapter 8, we read of that wonderful victory that was wrought against the people of Ai. Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So the Lord God then, because the sin had been put away, the Lord God was with his people, Israel, and they defeated the city of Ai. And verse 28, Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. Verse 32, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which is interesting, isn't it? Which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Verse 34, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that conversed among them. And so Joshua then took the book of the law and read it. He got obviously studied it and considered it in depth, and now he wanted to really allow all the people to hear it again. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. There is the way in which Joshua recited what Moses had written. So we'll just leave it there.